Summer heat and a lack of water have always made this a difficult place to make a living. Yet evidence shows people inhabiting the area for centuries. Today the climate is much the same, but people from around the world come to visit. We'll go there on this edition of The American Countryside. Each day we take you across the nation for unique stories of America's past and present here on The American Countryside. For those interested in rural and agricultural America, we have the Farming the Countryside podcast, with stories that bring you the latest information on timely topics like livestock, crops, tax and succession planning, rural improvement, ag technology, and more. Join me for Farming the Countryside, brought to you by Pivot Bio. You can hear it on the AgriTalk app, your favorite podcast platform, and you can follow our show on Facebook. Catch Farming the Countryside for a weekly look at the stories affecting rural and agricultural America.
Farm Journal and National 4-H present the first ever Farm On virtual benefit concert. Join us and some of country music's biggest stars as we raise money for 4-H and its dedication to building stronger communities. The concert will be August 27th at 7 Central, and your 4-H'er can be part of it. Just text a picture or video of them and their project with the words Farm On to 31313 or by using the Farm On hashtag via social media. Join us for the Farm On virtual benefit concert this August 27th at 7 p.m.
Joe Zarkey says, although these 80,000 acres of Southern California became a national park in the 1930s, there have been people passing through here for centuries.
They found evidence people call the Pinto culture. These were Native American folks that lived here 7,000, 8,000 years ago. We find points, rocks that they worked and so forth is evidence of that really earliest human culture that we know of in the park.
Evidence of those early peoples in the form of petroglyphs can still be seen. Just as it is today, this was a harsh climate in which to survive.
It was mostly hunter and gathering activities, seasonal use of the area. The native peoples were very, very attuned to the desert seasons. They would know which plants came ripe at which particular times, and they would move small family groups and encampments throughout the desert to take advantage of those seasonal food sources.
Occasionally one finds an oasis where people could find water and grow crops, but otherwise people moved from point to point as the season allowed.
Starting in about the 1870s, there were different gold discoveries that were made in the area. Then shortly after that, with the first miners that came in, ranchers began to find that there was some good grazing up in the higher regions of the park, so you had folks bringing cattle to the area.
In the 1890s, homesteaders came here to tame the land, but the desert climate made it difficult for any to stay or make a living. Today, the park attracts people for a variety of reasons, including one that makes it a draw nationally for this particular pastime. That chapter, next time, as we travel the countryside. In Joshua Tree National Park, California, I'm Andrew McCray.